Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Scripture is Acts 9, verses 1 through 18. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Amen.
Amen. So we continue with Paul this morning, and so we have a letter from Paul to the church today. "Dear beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I write this letter to you, my heart is filled with gratitude and love for each and every one of you who has dedicated your lives to following the teachings of our Savior Jesus Christ. Though I am separated from you by time and space, the bond of faith that unites us transcends all barriers. Though you know me as Paul, formerly I was known as Saul of Tarsus. I was born in Tarsus, a prominent city in the region of Cilicia in the Roman Empire. From my youth, I was brought up in the strict observance of the Pharisaic tradition, deeply committed to the teachings of the Torah and the traditions of my ancestors. As a young man, I studied under the renowned Pharisee Gamaliel in Jerusalem, where I zealously persecuted the followers of Jesus, whom I saw as a threat to the Jewish faith. I was proud to follow those tenets of my faith. I was proud to have defended that faith. There was even a time when one of the followers of Christ who was responsible for providing help and care for, well, I think he was providing help and care for anyone, whether they followed this Jesus or not. And his name was Stephen. And many of our Jewish community and the leaders were having none of it, none of what he was preaching and proclaiming and saying as he was helping other people in the name of this Jesus. And so he had to be stopped. And so as the crowd gathered around him to put down this speaking, all of a sudden, somebody threw a stone at him. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd was beginning to stone him. And I stood there and I was proud, and I didn't participate, but I helped others. I held people's cloaks. I took their belongings. I watched. Of course, I didn't do anything to stop it because I was in full agreement with the crowd. And so they stoned him to death. And even as they threw these stones at him, even as he died in the middle of this crowd who was against him, he still called out to God. He didn't even cry out for us to stop. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to deny what he was doing. If a crowd like this gathers, usually the one we gather against is stop, or they promise to stop doing what it is that has caused the crowd to rally against them. And yet, he never said he would stop. He never told us to stop. He never cried out. In fact, shortly before he died of this stoning, he almost seemed to be at peace, which didn't make any sense. So I would help the Pharisees, of whom I was a member, and I would bring in followers of this Jesus for punishment or prosecution. Because if they were following Jesus, they weren't following the Jewish law. They were against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they were against Rome. Well, Rome didn't like that either. I even went to the chief priests and the high priests, and I said, issue me a letter, a warrant, give me your blessing and your permission, and I will continue to go out into the countryside and round up these people who were breaking the law, disregarding the tradition, and following this rebel, this Jesus. I'd heard about his disciples and thought I was done with the issue. He died in the crucifixion, a fitting punishment for such as this. And I began to hear strange things about him being raised from the dead, his community continuing to grow and prosper, and it was just all very strange. But I continued to go after them and turn them in and find them and track them down. And then one day my life took this huge turn, this incredible turn on the road to Damascus, where I encountered this risen Christ in a blinding light. In that moment, I was struck down, and I heard the voice of Jesus. I didn't know who it was. I heard, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. I didn't know what to do with that. It was incredible, this revelation of who this was. And all of a sudden at once, I began to question all of my previous beliefs and what I had participated in up to that point. And he gave me instructions to go into Damascus, and somebody named Ananias would find me and take me, and I didn't know what to do. So I went, but when I stood up, I opened my eyes, but I couldn't see anything. I was completely blinded. And even though that scared me and it worried me, there was a weird sense of peace, and it made me think of having watched Stephen die and have this weird sense of peace at the end of his life. I thought, is this going to be the end of my life? And so my friends that were walking with me, who had heard the same thing I had heard, but had not experienced it quite the same way, they took me and we found this Ananias. And I was there for 3 days. I was blind for 3 days. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I just wondered. I began to question so much of what I had done to that point. I began to question so much of what I had believed to that point. And I began to wonder, of all the people, why would this Jesus single me out? I heard Ananias in another room talking to his friends, saying that he wasn't sure why Jesus had chosen me, that when Jesus called Ananias to come and get me and bring me here, Ananias questioned Jesus and said, but this guy has persecuted our people and come after our people. And I heard him tell his friends that Jesus said to him, this is one through whom I will do great work. And I have to tell him how much he will suffer for me. Jesus said I was one through whom he was going to do great work. Me? I hadn't believed what he was saying. I had persecuted him and I didn't know what was happening. And then after 3 days, it was as if whatever was blocking my eyes just fell away, as if there had been scales or shells or something, and they just fell away, and I could see again, and everything was bright, and it took a while for my eyes to adjust, and I was hungry again and took food and something to drink. But something was different, very different. I was changed. And I began to listen to all these followers of Jesus tell me more and more about what he had been teaching, what he had been saying, what he had been sharing. And all of my training and all of my education in the Jewish law, in Roman law, with people that were Jewish, and I worked with people that were Gentiles, and now I knew what I had to do. And it was the weirdest thing, because I knew what I had to do now was to go and tell others about Jesus and about his teaching about grace and mercy. And the only way I could think to approach it was sometimes teaching it from the same perspective that I had taught other people. From a perspective of the law, from a perspective of the community. After my conversion, I spent time in Arabia, where I continued to receive further revelation and understanding of the gospel message directly from Jesus again. Then I returned to Damascus, where I began to preach boldly in the synagogues, proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. However, my newfound faith brought me into conflict with the same Jewish authorities that I had been a part of before, and that forced me to leave and to flee to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, I met with the disciples of Jesus, who were initially, no kidding, obviously wary of me due to my past persecution of the church. However, through the testimony of Barnabas and others, they came to accept me as a fellow disciple. And I began to preach in Jerusalem. But more persecution forced me to flee again, this time to my hometown of Tarsus. And by now you know many of the things that I did, my missionary journeys, all the letters I wrote to communities, to inspire them and instruct them. My life and ministry were marked by a passionate devotion to Christ and a tireless commitment to spreading his gospel to the ends of the earth. Despite facing immense challenges and hardships, I persevered, knowing that my labor was not in vain. Today, I am remembered as one of the greatest missionaries and theologians in Christian history, a testimony to the transformative power of the gospel. Do not be discouraged by the enormity of the tasks before you. Remember, you are not alone in this journey. The Holy Spirit dwells within you, empowering you to do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. And finally, I exhort you to continue steadfastly in the faith, standing firm in the face of adversity and shining as lights in a cloud in a dark world. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Yours in Christ, Paul. Amen. Let us pray as our musicians make their way up. Lord, as Paul was a missionary to different parts of the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of grace, mercy, hope, forgiveness, and compassion, we are your disciples today, called to share those same things in this neighborhood, in this community, and throughout the world. Give us courage, Lord. Give us clarity, Lord. Give us compassion. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.